We wish to call your attention for a little while this evening to the Word of God as it is recorded in the chapter we read from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and the first two verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I think it is important, beloved, to point out immediately here that our text is really a brief statement of what the Lord is speaking about in a much larger context. Let me just call your attention a moment to what he says further about this same subject. In verse 4, you read, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." And then notice, once more, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And once more, in the verses 7 and 8, you read, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." So you understand, of course, that when he says in our text, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit," that we ought to see that word of God in the light of this entire context. It might be interesting to ask the question, what actually was the occasion for the Lord referring to this figure of the vine and of the branches, and how he comes to say to his disciples that he is the vine and that they are the branches. And I would point out to you that the Lord spoke this in the very night in which he was betrayed. I think that's very evident from the chapters 13 through 17. If I understand them correctly, they must be understood in chronological order, and that all that is recorded here in these chapters has to do with the Lord celebrating with his disciples for the last time the Passover, at which occasion, as you know undoubtedly, he also instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, the question arises here, what was the occasion for using this figure of the vine? And of course, there are all kinds of interpretations given, but I think they are all conjectures. And I think that that's what we will have to do too tonight, if we're trying to get an answer to the question, how is it that the Lord came to speak of himself as the vine and his disciples or his church as the branches? Was it perhaps because of the cup which he had used at that institution of the Lord's Supper that reminded him of the vine with its fruit? Or was it so, perhaps, as most of the interpreters of Scripture would have it, that there happened to be a vine that was growing over the doorway of the upper room as the disciples disciples and Jesus were going out to go to Gethsemane that reminded him of it? Or was it so perhaps that on the way to Gethsemane they walked through a vineyard? And of course, your guess is as good as mine. There is nothing said here in this context that would warrant us to say with any definiteness how the Lord came to speak of himself as the vine and his disciples or his church as the branches. Nevertheless, this expression, this word of the Lord here is of profound significance, as I hope to make very plain to you tonight. There is hidden in this figure of the vine and the branches a very solemn and important truth which we certainly ought to apprehend if we are going to appreciate at all this portion of Holy Writ. Very simple language. I'm sure that there isn't a child in this audience tonight that is not acquainted with the figure which the Lord uses of the vine and of the branches, and also of the fact that there is in this figure, to complete it all, the husbandman who does something with that vine and with the branches, in order that this vine may bring forth fruit. I think every one of us that is sitting here tonight can clearly understand the figure, even our smallest children. But the text becomes more profound and probably even disconcerting when you begin to look at some of the things which the text speaks of, and I call your attention to it, that he says in verse 2 of our text, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Does that mean that there are branches that are in Christ that are lost? And if that is the case, does this not also contradict what you and I have always believed in the doctrine of sovereign election and in the perseverance of saints? Is it so that there are some who are in Christ that shall be lost? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Every branch in me, notice that, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And a little later, you read in the same context that there are branches which are cut off from him and which are cast into the fire and are burned. That's verse 6. So you see, we are confronted here with a very serious scripture. And I would urge you to pay very close attention, and I have in mind, especially tonight, our covenant young people with whom I am treating the subject of the church in our catechetical instruction. This stands very closely connected to the doctrine of the church, or if you will, the doctrine of God's covenant. And so tonight, for a little while, I'd like to call your attention to what I consider to be the main thought of this text, namely, God's vine. And to that I'm going to address myself for a little while. God's vine. And I would have you notice with me in connection with that, first of all, what it is. What is that vine of God? In the second place, how it is. That is, how did it become such a vine? And in the third place, and there, of course, we get to the real heart of the matter, and that is what he does with it. What God does with that vine of his. Now, those three thoughts I'd like to delineate for a little while with you. First of all, of course, you have, as I suggested in my opening remarks, the figure of the vine and the branches and of the husbandman who takes care of that vine by trimming it, pruning it, that it may bear forth much fruit. I think that's a very simple figure which is taken from the creation of God and which Jesus here applies to himself. Now, what actually is a vine? And now I'm speaking of a vine in the most literal and natural sense of the word. You understand, of course, that a vine is a complete organism which is composed of root, of stalk or trunk, if you please, of branches, of leaves, and of fruit. That all belongs to the vine, and I take it that the vine here, in the most literal sense of the word, is the grapevine. The grapevine. It is a living organism that is complete in all of its parts. And none of the parts have any significance apart from that organism, from that whole. That ought to become very clear to us. As far as the figure is concerned. And in the second place, still talking, of course, about that natural figure, what is so characteristic of such an organism is that it contains one life. There is one sap, life-giving energy that goes through the whole organism, which is drawn by the roots out of the earth with all of its vitamins and nourishment, and which is taken up into the root and into the trunk and into the branches and leaves and the fruit. There is one predominant life principle that governs the whole organism of the vine. I want to, before I go any farther, call your attention to the fact that this is not an isolated scripture where the Word of God speaks of such a vine. You find it in several other portions of scripture, both in the Old and in the New Testament. And it's rather significant that I call your attention for a moment to those, at least two of the references to the vine, because you understand, of course, that this figure applies to the relation between Christ and his church, not only as it subsists in the new dispensation, but as it has always subsisted, because the church is as old as the world. And I call your attention to what the psalmist Asaph writes in Psalm 80. And I can begin to read with verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and visit this vine. Now this is an important scripture. You understand, of course, that what the psalmist is speaking of here in the figure is Israel. That people, that ancient people of God, whom God took out of Egypt, the house of bondage, and planted them, as it were, in the land of Canaan. And something has happened to that Israel. That vine was not bringing forth fruit. In fact, they that were around about Israel began to pluck at her, to destroy her. The boar, even out of the wood, had come to runt into that land, to tear up that vine by its roots, if it were possible. And the psalmist Asaph is deeply concerned about this Israel of God. When wilt thou come, he asks, and visit this vine? That is, thy vine. When you get into the prophecy of Isaiah, and I want to call your attention also to this a moment, in chapter 5 of Isaiah, you read this, and this too is very significant, I think. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it. And he gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, and I call your special attention to this address, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, the prophet here is speaking to the, especially to the tribe of Judah, where this vine of God should have flourished the most. Judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned or digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, and notice this, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plants. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, and behold a cry. This will suffice to show that the Word of God speaks of this, of the church, of the people of God, in the figure of the vine and the branches, as they are related to Christ. And it goes to show also in these passages to which I referred that the vine and the vineyard is the church of Christ as it is, pleases God to gather her organically throughout the ages. We must never have the conception that the church is purely a New Testament entity, which began with the day of Pentecost. That's premillennialism. We must understand that the church historically had its beginning already in paradise, and that the vine was there all through the old dispensation. And it appears that often that vine is worthless, useless, as in these two instances to which I called your attention. There was no fruit on this vine. It did not produce. And consequently, it was worthy, apparently, to be trodden underfoot and to be destroyed forever. Now, what is so noticeable is that out of that vine, which God had planted already at the very dawn of history, which in history throughout the old dispensation appeared to be worthless, to have come to its end, this same prophet Isaiah tells us that out of a dry ground springs forth a root. And that root is Christ. He is the vine. That's how he came to say this too in our text. I am that vine. I am that vine. I am the representative of that vine as God planted it at the very dawn of history, as he transplanted it when he took it out of Egypt, the house of bondage, and put it into the land of Canaan, where for a time it flourished, and its boughs spread abroad unto the sea and unto the river, where it was laden with fruitful boughs, but in time became fruitless, apparently dead. In other words, Israel